119th Psalm. We're talking about the goodness of God. This is our third week. I just want to look at this one verse again. Verse 68, the 119th Psalm. This is a great verse. To set us on the right course. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. Thou art good and doest good. God's a good God, and he does very good things. Now look at James chapter 1. Verse 17 you're familiar with. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. No variableness. In other words, God does not change. He is good. He was good. He will be good. He does not change. He's always good, and he's always doing good things. You know the sundial, in the old sundial that they etched in the ground and put stones indicating different times, and they were reading the shadows, and as the shadow moved, the time moved. And this is somewhat a reference to that, that as the shadow moves, God still doesn't change. As time changes, God doesn't change. You know, there's always a lot of religious theory that passed away, that doesn't happen anymore. God used to. You know, God has not changed. Now look at the final book of the Old Testament. God has not changed. This is the best news in the world. When we talk about the goodness of God, it wasn't that he used to be good. He is good. He was good. He will be good. And he does good things. Malachi 3:6. Very important theological verse here. I am the Lord. I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. What would keep God, what unchanging characteristic of God would keep him from consuming the sons of Jacob? Huh? God's mercy endures forever. Because his mercy endures forever, because God does not change. He does not change. He is forever merciful God. Lamentation says his mercy is new every single morning. So he does not consume the sons of Jacob, because he cannot change, will not change, has not changed. Now if you go back to Genesis chapter 20, one of the important things about God that has not changed is his desire to heal, to make well, to make whole physical bodies and minds. This is the story of Abimelech. Abimelech had taken Sarah, thinking she was Abraham's sister. Verse 7. The Lord spoke to Abimelech and said, now therefore restore the man his wife, for he's a prophet, speaking of Abraham, and he shall pray for you, and you shall live. And if you restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine. Doesn't say how they're going to die. But he said, if he prays for you, you shall live. And God has not changed. Has God changed? Can God change? Will God change? He said, if Abraham prays for you, if you give him back his wife and he prays for you, you will not die. And if you see in this chapter what happened, verse 17, so Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech. Now this is Abraham. Healing through Abraham. Healing through the prayers of Abraham. And Almighty God has not changed. Still heals today. Still heals through prayer. He's the same. Abraham prayed and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bear children. Part of what was happening was they could no longer bear children because of their sin. Now look all the way over to James. And let me show you. Centuries later, hundreds of years later, this unchanging God, unchanging God, said the same thing to the church that he said to Abraham. Isn't that fascinating? Said exactly the same thing to the church he said to Abraham. Is any sick, verse 14, is any sick among you? How many? Any. Who's this work for? It works for anybody. So one thing about God, another thing about God that has not changed, God will heal anybody. Is any sick? You know, religious theory says God heals some, he doesn't heal others. And you'll understand that better by and by. But I think if you can read, you'll understand it today. He says, any sick. Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil, anointing with oil, type of the, power of the Spirit in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. The prayer of faith, what? What did he say to Abimelech? You let Abraham pray for you and you'll not die. And your household won't die. God, who does not change, is doing the same thing today that he's always done. God has always been interested in healing his people. He hasn't changed his mind. He provided healing through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The God that healed yesterday, that said, I am the Lord thy physician. That's in Exodus 15. He said, I am the Lord thy physician. He said, I am the Lord thy physician. Is still a physician. Is still a healing Jesus. Has not changed. Has not changed. It's amazing. You can know a lot about what God will do in your personal life just by knowing who he is, his characteristics. He has not changed. And look at the book of John. And let's follow the ministry of Jesus. Keep it in mind that God does not change. John 4. We'll read a number of scripture today. Verse 34, Jesus said to the disciples, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. My meat is to do the will, to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Well, what is God's will? To heal the sick. That's part of God's will. He heals the sick. He heals through prayer. He heals through anointing of oil. A lot of methods by which he delivers healing power to you. But he is the great physician. He has not changed. So if we look at the life of Jesus, we're going to see him healing the sick because God has not changed. And that's one thing that God has always done that he committed himself to do. Now let's read that verse in Exodus. Keep your finger in John. We'll be right back so that you'll see it. This is as the people of Israel were 3 days in the wilderness, coming across the Red Sea, leaving Egypt, 3 days in the wilderness, the Lord made this commitment to them. Verse 26, chapter 15. If you'll diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God. You know, if we diligently hearken, that means we're listening very carefully. If we're listening very carefully, we're going to hear God say, I am the Lord that healeth thee, because he doesn't change. Do that which is right in his sight, will give ear to his commandments, keep all his statutes. I will put none of these diseases upon thee which I brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that heals thee. He's saying, I can prevent disease from coming to you. The disease that's in the world, the disease that's in Egypt, I can prevent it from coming to you. I can protect you. If you live under the shadow of the Almighty, sheltered by the God who's above all gods, I who does not change, who wants you to be healthy and healed, can prevent it from coming to your house if you will walk with me. And that's exactly what you do. Turn back to John. For your children, you prevent some things by giving some direction. If they follow your direction, then what you wanted in their life comes to pass. You say, stay out of the street. You say, stay in the backyard. You say, don't touch the stove. You're trying to prevent some things. And Almighty God sees that there is sickness and disease in the world. Adam opened the door, let sickness and disease into our world. And God is trying to prevent it from coming to you. He does not want your household. He is the Lord. He says, I am. And this says in the Hebrew, I am Jehovah Rapha, the Lord your physician. And he's giving them some directives that would prevent sickness and disease. Now look at John again, chapter 5. Verse 30, I can of my own self do nothing. We used that verse some weeks ago. God said, I'm not doing anything by my own design. I'm not originating anything. I'm not doing anything by my own plan. I'm not independently doing anything. No, he's following God. As I hear, I judge. In other words, whatever God says to me, my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which sent me. When we see Jesus, we see the will of God being performed. We see God who does not change, doing what he wanted to do through the only begotten Son. And one thing God always did was heal the sick. One thing he did was give directives so that the people who had a chance to be sick could avoid that sickness by hearing his voice, obeying his commands. It's a wonderful, wonderful God. A wonderful, wonderful. You know, if God changed, we'd be in trouble. Say, oh, I did that yesterday. I've changed my mind. I'm not doing that anymore. You know, we change our mind. We even make commitments to our children. Don't keep them changing our mind. We really shouldn't. If you're going to do that, say to your child, I was wrong. I was wrong. Otherwise, you lied. It's just that simple. Now, I've been wrong. I like right better, but I was wrong a couple times. But I found out if we're going to keep our children walking in the truth, we have to walk in the truth. And I had to say, I thought that wasn't a good idea, but as Daddy and I have talked about it, we've decided it's okay. One year, the family invited Suzanne to go with him, and they were going to a parade way, way, way out of town in their hometown. They were going to spend a couple days. I didn't think that was a good idea for Suzanne. She was, 7 or 8. And I just told her she couldn't go, just off the cuff. I said, no, you can't go. And then Wayne got to talking about it. He said, you know, these are the finest people on the face of the earth. They were. And they have 3 girls, and their girls are still alive, still healthy, still doing well. He's talking me into it. He's letting me know that I missed it, that I was wrong. Thank God for help when you're wrong. And he said, you know, the thing that got to my heart, he says, if we can't trust her with them, who can we trust her with? And I thought, wow, that's the truth. If I can't send her with them and trust them, there's nobody on the face of the earth any more trustworthy than they are. I'll have to keep her at my side all the time. And I let her go. But I had to say to her, Mama thought this was a bad idea, but Daddy and I have talked about it, and it's okay for you to go. It's a good idea. I was wrong. I was wrong. But God doesn't have that problem. He didn't have to say, oh, you know, I was going to heal you, but changed my mind. Jesus said, I come to do the will of God. So when we see Jesus in action, we see exactly what God wanted to do. And what you see Jesus doing is what God has always done. What he did from the beginning of time was heal the sick. What he does at the end of time is heal the sick. If you go to historical documents, we go through the book of Acts. We'll do that shortly. But we go to the book of Acts, and the book of Acts ends. We see the church is bringing healing to the sick because that's the will of God. That's the plan of God, the changeless God, the God who does not change, provided healing. It's in his covenant. He does heal the sick. He has not changed. And we'll see in every historical document, in every age of time, people are being healed by the hand of God because God does not change. He said, there's no variableness in me. You know, if you look in the mirror, you take out your photograph album, you'll see there's been some variableness in your life. Just a little shift or change here and there. One very, very thin lady, this is a comfort to we who are not so very, very thin, but she's very, very, very thin all the time that I've known her. She's always been very, very, very thin, very attractive. And she was going through some old clothes, and she found they didn't fit. I couldn't believe it. I've known her probably 20 years, never seen her gain an ounce, lose an ounce. She's always the same, yesterday, today, and forever. And when she said she had this old outfit she wanted to wear and it wouldn't fit, I went, yes! I want to know somebody's changing and shifting gears besides me, but Almighty God has not changed. He is a healing God. He was, he is, he will be. He's not changed his mind. He still heals today. Now look at 6. Chapter 6, verse 38. If we see Jesus, we see healing. If we see God, we see healing. I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. What was the will of God who sent Jesus? Now let's read one more. It was healing. Chapter 8. This is a tremendous verse, verse 29. He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone. I do always those things that please him. When you see the work of Jesus, you see that God is pleased. God is saying, yes, that's what I wanted. Now let's look at the work of Jesus and prove that God has not changed. Start in Matthew chapter 4. God does not change. Jesus is the same, according to Hebrews 13, yesterday, today, and forever. What Jesus did pleased the Father. It was the will of the Father. God said, that's the way I wanted it. Verse 23, Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing all manner or every kind of sickness, every kind of disease among the people. So Jesus was healing every kind of disease. You remember those strange lists of diseases in Deuteronomy 28? You can have mildew and burning and itch and emrods. The only one we might recognize as consumption has to be TB of some sort. He said, every kind of disease. And then in Deuteronomy 28, to the end of that chapter, it says, and all of the diseases that are not written. So there isn't a disease that the healing hand of God will not touch. I don't care if it's a tremendous disease, an overpowering disease, an overwhelming disease. The healing hand of God touches every sickness and every disease. Now, God doesn't change. That's the way he wanted it when Jesus walked the earth. That's the way he still wants it. I don't care what the disease. God says, I'll do that. I'll do that. And then the next verse says, his fame went throughout all Syria. And they brought all sick people. In other words, they weren't selecting some. contrary to the rumor that sometimes God heals and sometimes he doesn't, they brought them all that were taken with divers diseases, that's various, torments, those which were possessed with devils, those which were lunatic, those who had the palsy, he healed them. They brought them, he healed them. Well, has God changed? No. Hasn't changed, has he? So he's still healing all people in every disease. Amen. And when we see Jesus, we see God at work. We see God doing through Jesus what he always has done and still does and really wanted to do. Now look at chapter 9 of Matthew. My, there's so much proof. Verse 35. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Every is every is all. Look at chapter 12, verse 15. We see the will of God. Jesus said, I came not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. You see Jesus healing the sick, you know that's the will of God. And the will of God is unalterable. 12:15. When Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed those that was God's will. He healed them all. So how many of them did God want healed? So simple, isn't it? So simple. Now look at chapter 14. My God heals the sick. It's always been his will. It's always been his plan. Verse 14. Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward the multitude and healed the multitude sick. And Jesus said, what I'm doing is the will of God. And everything I do is pleasing God. So God's pleased to heal all the sick. You know, if God wasn't healing everybody, you think we'd have a scriptural example where somebody was overlooked and some reason why they were overlooked, but you won't find one. There isn't one. The only people that were overlooked were the people who refused faith, who would not draw near and believe. Well, look at verse 35, chapter 14. When the men of that place had knowledge of Jesus, they sent out into all that country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased. The people were so aware that Jesus would heal them all that they weren't even selecting people. You know, we'd had to have a committee to determine who do we bring. We can't bring everybody because he won't heal everybody. Who can we bring? Who qualifies for healing power? There wasn't any qualifying. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. He paid it all for all people. And it was the will of God. I'm the Lord thy God. I change not. Now, we may eliminate ourselves for some particular reason, but you won't find that God eliminated you. Something about your thinking needs to be changed because God has not eliminated you for any reason. He loves you and he heals everyone who will come, everyone who will believe. Now, look at Luke 13. Verse 11, this is a woman been sick 18 years, bowed together, some type of arthritis perhaps, could in no wise lift up herself. Now, she's always looking at her toes. Jesus said in verse 12, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. Now, that's the will of God because Jesus is only doing the will of God. He laid his hands upon her, immediately she's made straight. Now, they criticized Jesus for that, but look at his response, verse 16. Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, he takes healing all the way back to Abraham. Based on the fact that she was a descendant of Abraham, she could be healed because in Abraham's life, there was healing power. Interesting, isn't it? And then he tells us something we must know, we must remember, whom Satan hath bound. God didn't make her sick. God makes nobody sick. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. You remember last week's lesson? The thief always comes through the window. God comes through the door. Thief has to sneak in. He has to find entrance into our life because if we live within the shadow, entrance is hard to find. Hard to impossible. God's people walking in God's shadow are hard to reach with disease. And yet disease reaches some of us, but Jesus paid it all. We used to sing, the great physician now is near, the sympathizing Jesus. He speaks the wounded heart to cheer. Hear the voice of Jesus. If you hear the voice of Jesus, he says, ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham? And I am the Lord thy God. I change not. Now, this word bound, Satan hath bound, is an interesting word. It's the same word we'd use if we were taking a prisoner and putting them in jail. We bind them. And when you put a prisoner in jail, they eat when you tell them to. They eat what you tell them to. They are on the phone if you allow them to be on the phone. They have rules. They have regulations. If they go anywhere and you decide they should go and change, they go and change. And you're in total control. And that's what Satan does with disease. He tries to control our lives. First he says to you, well, you don't feel well. You can't go to work today. You better not go to church today. You're not doing too well. And then he says, if you buy that, he says, you really need to stay in bed. You really can't come out of your room. You need to stay there a couple of days. And he begins to bind and to tie and to restrict and command and commandeer. And any time that disease or poverty, those things that kill, steal, and destroy, bind your life, restrict your life, command your life, overpower your life, it's not God, because God is not changed. And he said to her, woman, be loosed. That's the will of God. That's Jesus doing what God told him to do. This God who does not change says, heal that woman. And he did. Now look, let me show you that you are by faith a child of Abraham, in case you don't know that. Look at Galatians chapter 3. Jesus paid it all. I am the Lord thy God. I change not. Verse 29 of chapter 3. If you be Christ, that's possessive. You see apostrophe S, you remember your English? It means if you belong to Christ. Then are you Abraham's seed. If you belong to Christ, if you've accepted Jesus as your Savior and Lord, if you've come into the body of Christ through faith and death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are also a descendant of Abraham. And God would say the same thing to you that he said to this woman, ought not Becky, being a descendant of Abraham, be healed? Because God that healed in Abraham healed all the way through the scripture. The healing pattern is consistent. He's the psalmist said, who healed all our diseases. David the psalmist knew that God had not changed, that he healed. Isaiah knew it when King Hezekiah got sick. The Lord had told Hezekiah he was going to die. In other words, he had to make some changes. There was some repentance involved that he had not really understood. And so when he understood repentance and repented, see, sometimes we have to make some shifts or changes in our life. But when he understood repentance, and it says he turned his face to the wall, in other words, he's thinking about changing, changing, changing. He's not looking at people. He's looking at God and hearing from God. And God said, go back and tell him. I'll give him 15 years. That was the will of God all the time. That was the will of God all the time. Because God does not change. He wants you to live and not die. The psalmist said, I shall live and not die and declare the wonderful works of the Lord. Now, if we go to Matthew, the healing message was so important. Jesus, being in a physical body, could only do one thing at a time. So he's going to send out teams of people to expand the declaration of the will of God. You know, that's what we do. We go into all the world. We expand the declaration of the will of God. So in chapter 10, when he called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal what? All manner of sickness and all manner of disease. In other words, the 12 disciples were fulfilling the will of God just as Jesus was. You remember? He healed all manner of sickness, every kind of disease. When he sent the disciples out, he sent them out two by two, so there were six teams. Can you imagine being on Judas's team? Just had that thought this morning. When the wind of the Spirit blew, I thought, whoo! I wonder if they knew. You know, he's hard to work with. I wonder if already he was on the difficult side. You know, don't be on the difficult side. Be cooperative. Find out what God is doing and make it happen. Cooperate with people who are making it happen. Well, I don't know if Judas was sticking out like a sore thumb or not. But the disciples were sent out to do exactly what Jesus was doing, because this is the will of God. It's the forever will of God. It's the always will of God. And then you're told in verse 7, he says, go preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. That was what Jesus was doing. That's the will of God for his disciples. because God does not change. His will is healing from Abraham to David to Isaiah to Matthew, all the way over to James. God, who does not change, brings healing to the sick. Well, look at Luke chapter 10. Now we've got six teams of people, but that wasn't enough. It just wasn't enough. Chapter 10, verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them out two by two before his face into every city and place, whether he himself would come. You know, if I send somebody ahead of me, it's not to do something different than I would do. It's to make ready so that when I get there, I can do what I always do. It's a wonderful thing when you go to teach at a church and the pastor has made them ready for you. We've been on both sides of the ship, where they weren't ready and where they were ready. And oh, what a difference it makes. And Jesus sent out, now we've got 35 teams. He sent out six teams, but it wasn't enough. Now, they're not doing something different. The will of God is very consistent. They're doing exactly what Jesus did, exactly what flowed through Abraham, except it's going to be in greater measure because it's going to be secured by the blood of the Lord Jesus, not the blood of bulls and goats, as in the book of Leviticus in the Old Testament days. Now, look, here's what they were doing. Verse 9, here's the commission. Here's the word to the 35 teams sent out. Heal the sick. And say, the kingdom of God is come. You know, when the kingdom of God comes, what happens? Sick get healed. It's a part of the gospel. It's a part of what God has always done, is doing, will always do. Until this mortal body becomes immortal, it's not necessary anymore. Won't that be a great day? We don't have to get up in the morning and speak to your knees. Shh. Now look at Acts. Jesus dies and resurrected. But the will of God has not changed. It is the same. Now look at chapter 4. This is the church. We saw Abraham bringing healing to Abimelech, David declaring healing, Isaiah bringing healing to healing word to King Hezekiah. We saw Jesus healing the sick. We saw the six teams of disciples go out. See, church theory says that healing stopped with the last apostle. But when you read the scripture, that is not the case. And when you go through historical documents, if healing stopped with the last apostles, then God is not the God who changes not. He has changed over the years. And I don't believe that for a minute, because the scripture declares, God himself said, I change not. So he is the divine healer. Is Jehovah Rapha, the great physician. Now this is the church at prayer. Verse 29, the Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant to thy servants that with all boldness they may speak their word, your word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal. Jesus is in heaven at the right hand of the Father. But God is not changed. The message is the same. There's healing for the sick. They wanted an increase. They wanted more, and they prayed. It's a good tip. Now look at the next chapter 5, and let me show you what happened as a result of their prayer. Verse 12, by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. Many. Verse 14, believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick to the streets, laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one. Why? Because I am the Lord thy God. I change not. God has not changed. The message has not changed. The forever message is, I am Jehovah Rapha. I am the physician. And the church knew that, captured that, and began to pray for an increase, and saw that increase. That's quite an increase when the shadow of Peter passes by and you get healed. My, I like it. I like it. Well, look at chapter 8. You might say, but Peter was an apostle. Well, then let's go with Philip in chapter 8, who was not an apostle. Jesus paid it all. We can say Jesus paid for all. And he did. Philip was a deacon. The deacons were appointed to help the apostles with the business of the church so that they could keep praying and reading the scripture, studying. And then he became an evangelist. He went down to the city of Samaria, verse 5, preached Christ. The people with one accord gave heed to those things which Philip spake. Hearing and seeing the miracles which he did, for unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many that were possessed with him, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. I am the Lord thy God, I change not. He healed in Abraham's day. He healed in David's day. He healed in Isaiah's day. He healed in the gospel when Jesus walked the earth. He healed through the church when Jesus was gone, because he has not changed. If there's sickness and disease in your body, the will of God is steadfast. God is the great physician. He wants you well. Well, let's look at chapter 9. This is raising the dead. She got sick and she died. Verse 41, Peter gave her his hand, lifted her up when he called the saints and widows, presented her alive. It's amazing. Jesus raised the dead. We would have expected that. But this is Peter. Why is Peter raising the dead? Because I am the Lord thy God, I change not. You go to the Old Testament, there were people raised from the dead in the Old Testament. You find Jesus raising the dead. And the church who follows her master and perfects the will of God by hearing and obeying will be called upon to raise the dead. Now that takes three gifts of the Spirit. So don't worry about it. If you have three gifts of the Spirit come upon you all at the same time, you'll know. You don't have to look at somebody and wonder if you're supposed to raise them up. You're going to know. It takes working of miracles, gifts of healing, and special faith. Three supernatural manifestations, but it still happens because God has not changed. He has not changed until Jesus comes again. Everything that was ever done will still be done. It says God's counsel or his word, Hebrews said, is immutable. Well, you know about the mutant ninja turtles. Weren't they popular for a time? Immutable means changeless. God says, my word is changeless. When God gives his word, he doesn't change his word. When he said, I'll forgive all your sins and heal all your diseases, that's set in concrete. That is the way it is. Now, my part is to believe that. It's my faith in believing that God has not changed and he wants me well that makes me a candidate, that makes healing begin to function. Healing works from the Spirit. As the psalmist said, he sent his word and healed. Healing comes through the word. The word is spirit. God is spirit. His word is spirit. You are a spirit. So the word of God comes from the Spirit of God to your spirit and begins to heal you from the inside out. And so your body will not in the beginning know what's happening. It depends upon how fast it comes from the inside out. Now, I don't know why some people get healed instantly and others take a lot of time. But I know once you receive the healing word, once you say, I know God has not changed, I know he is the same, I know he is my Jehovah Rapha, just like he was Abraham, just like he was people of Israel's Jehovah Rapha, just like he was Jehovah Rapha through the hands of Jesus and through the hands of Paul. It's just through the hands of Paul. Paul wasn't an apostle. God's counsel has not changed. His word is immutable. He is our healer. And the minute I know that and raise my hands to heaven and say, this is what I need, God, I know the healing begins to work. Now here you are, you're a spirit. Just make him big so you can see him. He's big because he's been eating the word of God. God sent his words, Psalms 107:20. He sent his word. God's word is spirit. It comes into your spirit. Then when the word fills the spirit, the healing word, doesn't matter what healing words you like. It begins to, let's put this man in a physical body. Well, let's make his physical body red. Want to? Why not? Somebody said, why don't you have somebody draw for you that can really draw? I said, they would never remember if it was perfect. My artwork is known around the world because it's so poor. It's all right with me if it works. Here's the healing word. God's word is spirit, John 6:63. His word is spirit. It works first in the spirit. It is spirit. It works first in the spirit. And then it comes to the physical body, comes out of the spirit. As your spirit fills up with healing word, that word comes into the body. And the Bugatti, sometimes it amends quickly, and sometimes, according to the scripture, it begins to amend and it takes some time. But once I've received that healing word, once I know God has not changed, that means healing is working. It's working. It's working. Healing power is working. It doesn't matter how you receive it. If you want laying on hands, you want anointing with oil, if you can just pray and believe, there are a lot of methods by which it can come to you, a lot of methods by which it's worked, a lot of methods. It's always worked in a variety of different ways, but it's always worked. The only way it wouldn't work is if God changes or you refuse to believe it. If you believe it, then this God who does not change, whose mercy endures forever, will begin to work in your body, and it begins to amend. Now, I'm not moved by physical symptoms. Physical symptoms often tell you when you need medical assistance. Temperature tells you when you need an aspirin. We're not opposed to any of those things. Those things don't heal, though. They're stop gaps while God is working. Thank God he's working. Thank God he's working. He's working. He's working. Healing power is working. It's working. It's working. Healing power is working. It's working. It's working. See, if I get up in the morning and my sugar level's 200, I get up the next day, it may only be 85. If I go by my sugar level, I'm not going to be able to tell if I'm healed or not healed. Your blood pressure will do the same. You get up one morning, you have a temperature of 102. 2 days later, it's down to 96. Well, were you sick? Are you healed? Who knows? If you follow your body, you'll never know anything. Your body lies to you. I've known people who are perfectly well suddenly drop dead. Passed every physical. Medical science said they were well. No symptoms, no sign of anything, but they died. And then they find out there was some disease in them. Why didn't their body tell them they were sick? You can't trust your body. It's the word we trust. It's the healing God we trust. On the other hand, I've known people who knew they were sick. One lady was always sick, always sick, always sick, always sick. Saw her not long ago. She's still sick. I know it's been 10 years that she's been dying. How come her body keeps telling her she's sick when she's not sick? I do not know, but one thing I know about the physical body, we look not at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen, because the things which are not seen are eternal, but the things which are seen are always temporary. You can follow the temporary, you can follow the eternal. If I follow the eternal, I follow the word of the living God, which says, I change not. That's the way it is. Thank you, our Father, for healing word this day. Thank you for all you want to do in our body and in our mind. Oh, we thank you.